From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back. It's Locked On Chiefs. It's a Thursday show, and it's going to be a little bit different. Seth and I are going to go head-to-head on a couple of important factors about how this Chiefs team can take what they've done to this point, roll it up into a ball, and throw it at the Indianapolis Colts. It's going to be an interesting game. A couple of things that are going to hinge on the outcome, and we're going to go over them today. If you missed our show yesterday with Jake Arthur, great conversation with the guy who is the BJ Kissel of the Colts organization. He works for Colts.com and does a lot of their writing. Very, very intriguing stuff. Go back and check that out if you missed it. I am Ryan from RGR Football and Rogue Analytics. I will have the Rogue Analytics draft guide up again this season, doing some interesting things. It's all about athleticism, and we'll talk about that. Seth's going to join me here in a few from The Athletic. Chris Clark's off today, but he's doing stuff over at Chiefs Digest with Matt Derrick, and we'll talk to both of them later, early next week, most likely. So a couple of news bits before we get into the arguments, I mean conversations. Big news. It's important to me anyway. And not trying to be reactionary, but Eric Berry had to back off of his practice schedule. Practice yesterday, did not practice today. And that is a sign that really didn't want to see. Both he and Dorian Daniel didn't practice on Wednesday, and I think that's key. He is a guy that you saw the level of play come up when he got back into the lineup. Having missed the Oakland game, you'd hope for that same kind of bounce back reaction to having him on the field, where it could really, really help them push past what is the hottest team in football right now in the Indianapolis Colts. And as Jake told us yesterday, the opposite side, the Colts injury report got a little bit thinner. They did have guys come back. And like you said, they start to practice later in the week. So keep an eye on that. Could be two teams going in different directions here. For the Chiefs, had a limited practice from Spencer and Sammy Watkins, but he did practice again. Everybody else was a full go, so the Chiefs feel good about that, particularly about Nadi. Nadi's going to be a force. We're going to talk about this on RGR. I have the film. The defensive film review is up on RGR for the Raiders game, and they have to take that, and they have to build on it. I go into a lot of depth there. Please check that out. And I'll be back with the game plan video for this Colts game here in the next day. So, that said, the other thing that's going to be an interesting turn of events, and it's going to play into that game plan, is that is the weather. It is a deteriorating forecast for game time. So that's something we have to keep an eye on, because the worse the weather gets, the better it is for the Colts, for what they want to do. Also got to throw out there, for all of you who may have gotten a smart speaker or whatever this Christmas, need to remind you guys, all you got to do is tell those things to play the Locked On Chiefs podcast. We're up on all their systems, including Alexa and the Echo and all that stuff. So give that a shot. And for now, let's get talking with Seth. So now that we're getting closer, this game is upon us. And Seth, you're actually going to be at this game now, right?
I am. The fools gave me a credential again. And so I will be there representing 810 and The Athletic. And so I'm very, very, very excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that will be great. So you're going to be in the booth. You're going to have your all 22 look. That's going to be great. So yes. I look forward to after that game. But I know you've been doing all 22 work this week, as I have as well. And you're focused on coverages, right?
Correct. I want to take a look at what the Colts like to do and how the Chiefs match up against that. That's really been a big topic of conversation all over NFL Twitter, is the fact that the Colts run more zone than anyone. And specifically from what I'm seeing, they run a ton of cover two zone. And there's actually quite a few articles about, if you look at it, how midway through the season, they kind of revamped how they did things with an emphasis on execution in a cover two zone, trying to have creative blitzes and creative slants or twists or stunts, that kind of thing, to get pressure up front. So what they really rely upon is good pursuit, good angles, good pressure, and just playing disciplined defense rather than having a super exotic scheme.
Right. They don't show a whole lot of change pre-snap from the film that I've seen, and I've only looked at the last couple of games.
Right. I didn't see that much either.
So what the Chiefs are going to face is predominantly a two, although if I were them, I'd start playing some cover four just to do a little bit of confusion, because you can get away with the same looks pre-snap and maybe right. Try to do some confusion. But this is one of those things where you can say about how well they've played, and that's great. I'm impressed with what they've done. Very impressed with Reich as his head coaching career takes off. But then you got to look at the opposite side, and as good as Patrick Mahomes is, he's really good against cover two.
He is. And we chatted about this earlier in the week, and the article's up on The Athletic for anyone who wants to look at it. The Chiefs have great personnel and a great quarterback to beat cover two specifically. Now, they can beat all kinds of zone. Mahomes was great against everything this year. The only thing that really gave him trouble, and this was consistent against the Broncos, against the Ravens, and to a kind of slightly different, in a slightly different way against the Patriots, was showing some version of cover zero and really jamming up the line of scrimmage. And set, you know, like the Patriots especially did a ton of this. They had a few snaps where they had like seven guys at the line and all of them standing up, right? The best way that people got to him was with some kind of cover zero look, right in the line of scrimmage, and making him guess who was coming after him and who was dropping into coverage. That gave him some trouble. Now, he still made some Superman plays against the Broncos and against the Ravens and against the Patriots, but it gave him some trouble. Cover two has not given him a ton of trouble. I'm really curious what that'll look like. Cause like you said, the Colts, from what I'm seeing, at least, and again, you never know, a week is a long time to mess with things. But they don't change up a lot pre-snap. And I gotta tell you, walking in to a game against Mahomes and the Chiefs without, having a plan to disguise your coverages, that seems crazy to me. Absolutely right? Crazy.
That's playing into what they want.
I can't see it, because what happens with cover two, as you know, and as I'm sure our listening audience knows, you know, there are certain holes in cover two. That's one reason why Tampa two isn't as popular as it used to be, because everyone knows where the holes are. The holes are in the seams, you know, both down the field and in the intermediate and shallow portion of the field. There's holes, outside the numbers in the intermediate portion of the field. And those are places that you can work things over all day. Or if you send enough guys vertical and threaten enough things, you can get open players on deep post routes too. And so,
well,
everyone knows that.
Right. And I think in particular, this Chiefs offense, especially if they choose, because there's different, like you said, there's different ways you can play cover two. You can play cover two man underneath. You can play press out of it if you really want to. But if you do that, you leave those outside alleys open for a guy like Tyreek Hill.
Right. And, or like Sammy Watkins, if he's able to suit up, that'll be really big in terms of doing damage. He did a lot of damage against the Steelers when they showed cover two looks. It just doesn't seem like a great fit for defending the Chiefs. Now, again, this is the NFL. Anything can happen. This isn't a prognostication. It just is an observation that the Chiefs have shredded cover two pretty well, and they've got the personnel to beat it. And so maybe the Colts can execute it that much better than everyone else. But if I were them, I would be working on pre-snap disguises and trying to mix some things up in terms of maybe showing some cover zero or showing some cover three, you know, just different things like that.
Yeah, that safety rotation, I think, is the one thing that they can do to try to throw some things off. I like Malik Hooker as a player, and I know you've been looking at scheme all week. I've been looking at players all week because I think you're right. Execution is what they rely on. I'm trying to see how they're going to match up against the Chiefs. You have a young guy in Quincy Wilson out on one corner. You have Malik Hooker there, who should be a free safety. But if they're going to try to disguise it, is that what you would do, is try to show zero or show one and then back out into your regular two that you're comfortable with?
That's what I would do, yes. That's the thing. That Mahomes has been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in virtually every facet of the game this year. The one area where he's well ahead of schedule but is not one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL is in terms of recognizing disguised blitzes and coverages. Now, he's still decent at it. I had some people linking me to a take that was on a show that I'm not going to bother to mention, that like Mahomes never audibles. Well, that's stupid. That's, you can watch, you know, half of a game and see that that's not true. But that's the one area where he's definitely not up there with the Bradys or the Rodgers of the league, or even like the Andrew Lucks of the league. He just hasn't been around long enough. Now, is he well ahead of most second year players? Absolutely. Go watch Deshaun Watson fall for the same corner blitz over and over and over, right? Against the Colts last week. Yep. if they do that same blitz, it was multiple times. They did the same blitz out of the same look. You do that against Mahomes and the Chiefs, they are going to kill you. And so that's the one area that you can actually, he's not elite yet. He's elite in almost every facet of the game, but the pre-snap reads when you've got good disguises and teams show a bunch of cover zero up front and then maybe drop some guys back while rushing some guys, that has caused him problems. And that's what I would do if I were them.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, folks, if you're new to us, and I know a lot of you are, what Seth does at The Athletic focuses on this. And what I do at RGR does a little bit more personnel, man, player evaluation as far as film, because I don't know as much as Seth in terms of shell and scheme. But what we do like to do, and unfortunately we don't disagree enough, but when we do disagree, it's about a couple of things. We're going to look at the opposite side on the backside of this break. And look about, you know, the offensive philosophies and whether there's anything to worry about.
Throw the ball. Oh, sorry. We got to take a break.
Right.
The NFL playoffs are here and it is time to get into the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the games this year. Not this year when the 53rd Super Bowl is right around the corner. It is really the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win, ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props in the business. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. We trust them, but you don't have to take our word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join now and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for bowl season. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON25. At MyBookie, you play, you win, and you get paid.
That was well-timed. I like that one. So before we get started on this look, because this should be an interesting thing, I just want to say, is it back as we've had kind of an interesting day here? And I hope you're feeling like I didn't single you out too much for being, you know, kind of a pretty boy, but. We have to rekindle this Team Ryan, Team Seth thing, right?
I think you need to. And I got to tell you, it's been a long time since anyone called me pretty boy. I was kind of a pretty boy in high school. Like I did the sports thing, but I spent a lot of money at Abercrombie and Fitch, you know, wore leather bracelets on my wrists and, you know, hair all slicked out and stuff. And so I used to have people call me pretty boy. But I got to tell you, I haven't been pretty in a minute. Calling me pretty now, I was thrilled. I was like, yes. Thank you, Ryan. I told my wife about it. I was so excited. Anyway, I've got that tweet framed. But yes, it's definitely Team Ryan or Team Seth when it comes to one thing, and that's offensive philosophy. My colleague, Nate Taylor, who's just the best, love that guy so much, does such a great job. He actually wrote an awesome article. If you haven't seen it, subscribe to The Athletic. Check this out. He did a really in-depth kind of like expose, or nah, not expose, whatever it's called, of the Chiefs' longest tenured employee. I think Alan Wright is his name. I don't have it in front of me. And it is one of the best things I've read all year. Basically, they're equipment manager. Yeah. Awesome.
And everyone knows his face. If you've been to camp, he's got the best facial hair configuration of anybody on this roster.
He does. And so anyway, Nate wrote an article about, you know, yeah, the Chiefs should punt the idea of punting. He is embracing the new NFL right next to me, because if I had it my way, what I want to see the Chiefs do against this cover two defense, I want to see them line up with four receivers. You know, one of them can be a tight end. One of them can be Sherman for all I care. Sherman's a useful receiver. I love when they line up four wide. They got one guy in the backfield and then they motion him out too and just get nutty. I love it.
I am so tired of your new age hipster man bun wearing take. Oh, wait, you're bald.
Man
okay.
bun wearing, you know, orange mocha frappuccino ordering, brosive habit. Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I like it because you put a good tweet out there about how running against open boxes because they're spread out. And that's great. And I love the fact that you put the situational word in there. And I did retweet that purposely.
I saw.
Because the opposite's true as well. If you're preparing, if you're Indianapolis and you're preparing for, especially now that they see that Watkins is practicing for that spread formation, and you start this game out, you walk out there that first drive and you're a nickel or God forbid dime, they have to pull in. They have to be able to motion back in and get an extra lead blocker, whether it's the tight end or whatever it has to be, and run with Williams. I assume it's going to be Williams. I think he gets the start. But you have to be able to attack that box if it's really that light.
One thing they've done that I really like, this is over the course of the last probably 3 or 4 weeks. I haven't charted it a ton. They've had Kelce, Sherman, and their running backs, and even some of their receivers line up as H-backs over the last like 4 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had a bunch of formations, and I'm sure there's a technical name for it that I'm not remembering off the top of my head, where they had an H-back lined up on each side of the formation, where both of them were receivers in one case, with Kelce out wide. And so it's kind of interesting because the Chiefs receivers are very willing blockers. Now, you got to be careful doing that with receivers when they're on the line, because you're asking them to get killed if they're not careful. But they're willing enough to slow guys down. And so what you can do by doing that kind of H-back stuff, you can have a tight formation that doesn't necessarily ruin your chances of running. You know me, I'm a big believer in, if you want to run the ball well, run out of a spread. Force the other team to play nickel or dime, and then run at that six-man box where the running back only needs to beat one guy. But they definitely, if they can get the Colts to do certain things personnel-wise, they could definitely tighten up and run the ball right at it. Some of that, in my opinion, will depend on whether or not Spencer Ware is available, because Williams has definitely made progress as a middle-of-the-line runner, but that's still not what he's best at, in my opinion.
Right, yeah. If they want to run between the tackles, they got to get Spencer involved, as well as the bigger Williams.
Your guy, Darryl.
Yeah. And here's the interesting thing. Both LSU guys, both ran between the tackles in college. Darryl's obviously bigger. He's shown good hands, which I don't think we saw necessarily as his forte.
Right.
But here's the wrinkle that I'm looking for, because both Spencer and Darryl Williams can be that wildcat back that can hand off and can take it in between the tackles, and they bolted it at LSU. I'm looking forward to a little wildcat wrinkle.
You know, they did that with Spencer Ware for sure, and that's something that I've missed seeing. Damian Williams has done a great job while Ware's been hurt, and then Darryl Williams got hurt too, and Williams did a nice job being kind of the feature back, but I'm definitely looking forward to them having a few more bodies back there, because there are a few things Williams is not good at doing. One of them, like say if you look at the end of the Chargers game, that last drive where they went three and out, you know, they tried to run the ball with you know, some kind of outside zone. It didn't work out well. And rather than being able to at least, you know, salvage it for no gain or a 1 yard gain, he got tackled for a 3 yard loss. That's just, and that, maybe that sounds crazy, but there's a huge difference between second and 10 and second and 13. Situationally, you know, the 5 yard gain to Hill afterwards would have put them at third and five. You know, it's just a whole different ball of wax. And so I'm glad they're going to have some help. But Williams, in my opinion, is the perfect running back for what they are starting in Kansas City. I really think this is the tip of the iceberg. Just like I said, last year was the tip of the iceberg. And they've gone even more spread this year. They've gone more college, gimmicky, whatever you want to call it. And teams cannot defend it. When Chiefs motion into empty sets, which is another one of my favorite things. One thing I loved, like they did against Pittsburgh, they came out with Kelce on the line in I formation with Sherman on the field, right? Mm-hmm. Then they motioned the running back and Kelce out into receiver spots and put Sherman in as the running back, which Sherman is good enough at running he's good enough at running the ball to where you can't just abandon it, because he'll truck forward for 6 or 7 yards, no problem. He can also catch the ball in the backfield, great blocker back there. And this is a Kelce touchdown over the middle of the field, because Pittsburgh, their defense, their personnel was all wrong to defend the spread, because they had a tight end and a fullback on the
and
field.
Fullback.
Yeah. And right. So I love that. I love the idea of utilizing Sherman, because Sherman's a very competent pass catcher. And so, you know, so I don't want the fullback to go extinct, Ryan. I just want them to do what God intended and catch the football instead of run it.
Oh, I
welcome to the future.
Welcome to the past. God made a fullback for a reason.
Yeah, well, you know, a fullback's like an appendix. I know now, we had it for some reason, but no one knows what for anymore. And so, you know, sometimes you just cut the thing out.
You always think you don't need him until he blows up your whole life.
Yeah, that's quite true. But yeah, I'm very excited to see what the Chiefs offense can do against that Colts defense. As far as on the other side of the ball, I mean, look, I don't expect the Chiefs defense to stop the Colts offense. I expect them to barely slow them down. I'm thinking this is a barn burner. I'm thinking the Chiefs probably need to score at least 35 to win this game. The good news is I think they'll absolutely put up 35.
I would agree with that. I don't know that they're going to have to. I am not as impressed. I'm impressed at the capability, not necessarily the execution, because when you look in particularly in the run game, Mac had a great game last week, right? But he did it running around the edges, and D Ford's been night and day better holding that edge this year.
A lot better.
Try running outside of Justin Houston, I dare you.
I really hope they will, because one of my very favorite things is to yell, which I'll be in the press box, so I can't yell, or tweet, why do you run to Justin Houston's edge? I don't know why teams do it. And that doesn't mean they never succeed. I mean, it happens, but I'll tell you, half the time, if a run goes around Justin Houston's edge, it's, if you look, his assignment was different than what it normally is. Like he was assigned to crash inside or something, or he got held. Cause about every other time, 90% of the time, you run to Houston's edge and you are at best getting to the yard of scrimmage or a 1 yard gain. And it's glorious. So I do agree. I think the Chiefs will contain the edges better than the Texans did, because despite the fact that Clowney and JJ Watt are technically listed as edge guys sometimes in their system, they are not doing that on run defense downs. They're generally a little more inside. And Merciless, while a great pass rusher, is not a particularly good run defender.
The Chiefs linebackers showed a little bit more aggression. If Bob continues to let them loose, I think they're going to be in good shape. But I think the linebacker that makes the difference in this particular ballgame is Dorian O'Daniel, because I think probably the under the radar weapon that Andrew Luck has this season, which this is going to sound really weird when I say this, I think they have to be worried about Eric Ebron.
Hey, I completely hear that. Ebron scored like a dozen touchdowns. He's played well. He's always had physical talent. When you combine how talented Luck is, and Luck is very, very talented, with the scheme that they're running, Ebron's been doing a lot of damage. It'll be interesting to see whether or not they assign that primarily to O'Daniel, or whether they stick to some of the stuff they've been doing and put a safety on him. I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, Jordan Lucas and Eric Murray haven't done horrible against safeties at times, but at times they have. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, I agree. And I just think it's going to give them a chance because they play Ebron and they play double tight end sets quite a bit as well. Yep. And they play him in line more. It feels like Sorensen matching up against tight end is a little bit more when they're split out, when they're trying to do the X thing versus the old school inline blocker. So that said, in terms of the secondary, much maligned, got a little bit of pickup from the young guy being out there. I expect Ward to start again. I'm sure you do too. What are you looking for in terms of the Chiefs secondary and its defense?
I just want to see the secondary continue. We haven't seen over the course of the last few weeks, we haven't seen, well, let me rephrase this. Well, no, I'm going to say it the way I was going to say it. Despite the disaster that was against Seattle, there weren't as many blown coverages as we'd seen in previous weeks. A lot of those big plays were just awesome throws. I'd say 4 or 5 of those plays that Wilson made were just great plays, like the kind of plays Mahomes makes. And then against the Raiders, same thing. Now, you saw some guys getting open occasions, but it wasn't due to completely blown coverages. I want to see the Chiefs continue to do that. Don't make the big mistakes. Just play competitive, play your game. And I think in the playoffs, I think the whistles will get swallowed a little bit more, which really, in my opinion, favors a physical Chiefs secondary.
Knock on wood. Folks, we're going to take our last break, and we're going to find out what Seth thinks is going to happen.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
Okay, before I let you go for the day, and folks, we do this every pregame Thursday and Friday show. Seth, what's your prediction for how this game goes down?
I do think it ends up being a barn burner. I think Luck is good enough, and that offensive system is good enough to give the Chiefs defense problems with or without Eric Berry. I think Eric Berry is going to give it a go, but I don't know if he'll be able to have a huge impact. Just depends on where they play them. I think this ends up being one of those like 40 to 35 type games, but I do think the Chiefs walk away winning it.
Well, I hope you have a good time, especially up in that booth. Safe travels, and folks, make sure you check back with us. We will have post-game after that game, and next week we'll be back with Seth and looking forward to the future, I think. Thank you for listening to us today. Seth, thank you for your time.
Hey, it was always fun.
Well, it's more fun for me. Folks, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.